Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church as we get to worship our God yet again in this Lenten season. We continue our Lenten journey today as we take this walk of repentance. Now, when you're driving on the road and you see a lot of signs, as experienced drivers, what do you often do? You look at them? Do you even look at the signs anymore? Maybe some of the just the big ones? Right, but oh, by and large, I've been down this road before. I know how this works. Well, as Christians, we can do the same thing, but we can do that to our peril. So today, we're really going to reflect on the warning signs that God gives us, and we're really going to deeply reflect upon our sin and what it means. So we'll really dive into that today. May God bless your worship this morning. We'll start with hymn 305. 305. Stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Be seated. Sorry. The first lesson today comes from Numbers chapter 16, verses 23 through 40. I'll give you a little bit of context here as this warning sign comes to us. What had happened was Korah and a couple of others tried to rebel against the Lord. They were grumbling against the Lord. They didn't like Moses and Aaron. And so they themselves were going to try to usurp their authority. And they started to perform some things that the Levites were only supposed to do, those who were the priests. So then we hear this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly, "Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all of their sins." So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrances to their tents. Then Moses said, "This is how you will know that the Lord has sent me to do all these things, and it was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and suffer the fate of all mankind, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the realm of the dead, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt." As soon as he finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households, and all those associated with Korah, together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too!" And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, to remove the censers from the charred remains and scatter the coals some distance away, for the censers are holy, the censers of the men who sinned at the cost of their lives. Hammer the censers into sheets to overlay the altar, for they were presented before the Lord and have become holy. Let them be a sign to the Israelites." So Eleazar the priest collected the bronze censers brought by those who had been burned to death, and he had them hammered out to overlay the altar, as the Lord directed him through Moses. This was to remind the Israelites that no one except a descendant of Aaron should come to burn incense before the Lord, or he would become like Korah and his followers. The word of the Lord. Join together in a good repentant psalm, Psalm 38. So then, what are we to do with the warnings of the past? That's what Paul gets into here in our second lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ.
Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The word of the Lord. The verse of the day comes from yet another example, another warning from Israel's past, and that's when they also rebelled against the Lord and Moses, and so God sent snakes, and yet graciously He gave them a bronze snake to look to. That was a symbol of what we get to look to. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. Please stand now in honor of the gospel lesson. The gospel comes from Luke chapter 13, and this will serve as the sermon text for today. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." The gospel of the Lord. We now confess our faith not just in God's justice, but also in His grace in sending Jesus, according to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. If there are any children who want to come forward for a children's message, meet me up here at the front steps. Morning, everyone. How's it going? Good. Y'all see me okay? All right, you're going to want to, too, because I've got a few things to look at today, and I'm going to ask you to tell me what it is, okay? What is that?
Stop sign.
Stop sign. Okay, what do you do when you see a stop sign?
You stop.
You stop. Not too hard, right? Why?
Because you would get a ticket and you don't want to pay.
Okay, so maybe a ticket and a huge fine. But it also helps you maybe stop because there's an intersection or maybe some other cars are there. There might be danger if you go through without stopping. Good. All right, next one. Ready? Yeah, kind of a danger sign, right? It's often caution. If you guys know that word, caution, you're supposed to pause and think, wait a second, something here might be a danger to me. I got to think about that, okay? One example of that here is this one. What's that one?
What? Death chemicals.
Death chemicals. Good way to say it. One simple word would be poison. Poison, yeah. So it kind of lets you know, hold on a second. Something here might be poisonous to me. I have to be careful. All right, another one.
Like a ball?
It kind of looks like a ball, right?
I'm guessing.
You guys know that this is the sign for something that's toxic. Toxic, right? If something is bad for the environment or toxic to you or those around you, you have to be careful about it, okay? All right, a couple more warning signs. Ready? Huh? This is actually a picture of what we just read about in the first lesson. It's a painting of it. It's called Korah's Rebellion. That's when Korah and a couple others tried to rebel against the Lord. Look what happened. The earth opened up, and they all fell in. Did you know that this is a warning sign for you and me? What is it warning you not to do?
Not to fall away from the Lord.
Yeah. Not to fall away and rebel against the Lord. You're exactly right. All right, another one. Ready? You guys recognize this Bible story? Another warning sign.
Moses told the people that, because they weren't listening to him, that God sent a bunch of poisonous snakes.
Yeah.
And Moses said that if you got bit by one and you look at the bronze snake, you will be healed.
Perfect summary. Couldn't have said it better. Well done. So poisonous snakes, yeah, because they were going grumbling against the Lord again, right? So another warning sign for you and I to not do what?
Also, some people did not listen.
Yeah, some people didn't listen. And they died, yeah. So you want to listen to the Lord, and you want to not grumble, and you want to make sure to follow the Lord. Okay. One more warning sign. This one's a biggie. This one shows us just how serious our sin is. That we'd have to send who, Wyatt?
Jesus dying on the cross.
Jesus, to die for our sins on the cross.
We have a million sins every day.
Million sins every day, if that small, right? And yet, look at the price that it took. It cost a lot. This is a warning sign for you and I to see the cost of sin and what Jesus had to suffer. But you know what? All of these signs, but especially this one, are actually for you and I a sign of God's grace too. When we see a warning sign, when God gives us one, what's he trying to tell us? I don't want you to have the same fate. That's God's grace. And this one especially shows that God's grace, because what happened? Our sins were forgiven. All those times when we didn't listen to all those warnings, sinful things that we've done, all paid for by Christ. That is God's grace. So let's say a prayer asking him to give us some help in listening to his warnings. God Almighty, we don't deserve any warnings that we get, but you still give them to us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your warnings. Help us heed these warnings and listen to you, all so that we can appreciate what Jesus did for us. We ask all of this in his name. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats, and we'll continue with hymn 302, another repentant hymn 302.
God's grace and mercy are given to you through Christ. Brothers and sisters, amen. The sermon text comes from the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 13, if you wanted to follow along in the bulletins. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your warnings. Amen. Some of you know that I help run a website called UnderstandChristianity.com. On the website, there's a page where you can submit a question. It can be a question about anything, about Jesus, about the Bible, about Christianity in general. I had a guy submit a question a couple of weeks ago. It was simply, so who ends up in hell? Thought it was basic enough, so I told him that those who believe in Jesus and what he did have eternal life, and those who don't believe him and reject him end up in hell forever. And I provided a whole bunch of scripture passages to show that. But he wasn't convinced. He disagreed. He said, if God wants all people to be saved, and God is all-powerful, God's going to get what he wants. Therefore, all people are going to go to heaven. Emailed back and forth a little bit, tried to provide ample scriptural evidence, wasn't convincing this guy. Still, he said, nope, all people are going to go to heaven. Not only does that ignore a lot of passages in scripture and a lot of what we're talking about today, but I also started thinking about the implications of that, what that would have on somebody's life. If you think that there's not a chance that you could possibly go to hell, then what threat would sin or the devil be at all? Then you could indulge in any sort of spiritually unhealthy thing like we talked about last week, and there wouldn't be any consequence. You could ignore the six things we learned about repentance 2 weeks ago. You could basically completely turn your back on God and yet still end up where everyone else is. And while you and I can kind of think about a man who has a belief like that and just go, yet we can fall into that same thinking. Sometimes we think that we are shoo-ins for heaven. And then we see that reflected in our lives. Thankfully, Jesus gives us a couple of big warning signs today for that kind of thinking. He's going to show us that God is looking for my repentance now. In Luke chapter 12, at the end of that, as we get into Luke 13, Jesus is actually giving the crowd some flack because they're not interpreting the present time. Jesus is trying to make the point that the world is obviously headed towards God's final judgment. And then we hear this. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Some Galileans apparently, as they were offering sacrifices in the temple, for some reason were brutally murdered by Pilate. And so, in a sense, their blood was mixed in with the blood of their sacrifices. But the crowd wasn't saying this to Jesus as an example of Pilate's cruelty. They were trying to make the point that, well, don't tell us about God's judgment, Jesus. We know that it's coming. We know that he's just and punishes people. Just take a look at what happened to those Galileans. Look at what God did to them through Pilate. They were trying to make the argument that those Galileans were terrible sinners. They had to be because God allowed this terrible thing to happen to them. They must have deserved it. First of all, not only does God not do that, just because you see difficulty or tragedy in somebody's life doesn't mean that God is punishing them for something. But most importantly, what kind of attitude did these people have? They were thinking that, oh yeah, those sinners, they are the terrible ones that need to be concerned about God's judgment. Not us. We're shoo-ins. So Jesus here gives a big warning sign. Jesus answered, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners and all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. He emphasizes the same thing again, this time not a brutal murder, but just with an accident involving the tower in Siloam. The tower of Siloam was a tower that was connected to the wall of Jerusalem. Apparently something had happened that they all knew about. He says, or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. See what Jesus does whenever somebody gets on their high horse? Jesus turns their judgment right back on them. God's judgment is certainly coming, but don't think that you don't have to be concerned about God's judgment in your life. Sadly, as Christians, we can kind of fall into that. When it comes to my repentance, where should my focus be, first and foremost? Me, myself, and I, right? And yet, so often we as Christians can think to ourselves, well, yeah, I sinned. Yeah, I know I'm sinful by nature, but I also know what Jesus did for me. I know that I can ask for forgiveness later, I'll be fine. Think, oh, well, God's gracious. That's what we praise him for, right? God's not really going to stop me at the door to heaven. Me? Besides, my pastor tells me every Sunday, you're forgiven. Therefore, I don't have to change my life. When that sort of mental trap comes up, guess what we have to do? We have to remember Jesus' warning. Unless you repent, you too will perish. If I'm being unrepentant with one of my sins, if I'm clinging to that sin, then I'm going to be clinging to that sin all the way until perishing. Something far worse than a tower falling on me or being murdered. I'm going to end up perishing in hell forever. So as God's people, we always want to be having that on our minds and in our hearts. We always want to be having that warning sign. Unless you repent, you too will perish. That's the warning. God gives that to us. In fact, Jesus' point is that God gives us a lot of little warnings that point to that warning. When you see difficulty or tragedy in somebody's life, don't think about what it means to them. Think about what it means to you. Reflect on yourself and think about yourself, all right, what sin do I have? What's in my way? What sin is putting me on a path of God's judgment? What am I entangled in? When it comes to my repentance, how am I doing? Repentance is having a change of mind. That's literally what the word means. Having a change of mind about one's sins. So it's going from looking at sin and delighting in it and desiring it to changing from that and being disgusted by your sins. Being remorseful over the sins that you committed. And wanting to get rid of them in your life. You know that phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure? Don't let that apply to you spiritually. Okay? When God says it's trash, get rid of it. So how do you know when something is trash? You look at God's word. You reflect upon the Ten Commandments. First of all, it says, you shall not, and yet what am I still doing? You shall not have other gods. You shall not misuse the name or honor the name. You shall not forget the Sabbath day or the importance of God's word in your life. Okay? You shall not disrespect those in authority over you. You shall not murder or have hatred. You shall not dishonor God's gift of marriage or have lust. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony and lie about others. You shall not covet. God says I should not do these things, yet what am I still doing? Or you look at the list of sins, so often in the epistles, you see some common themes there. You see greed, envy, you see selfishness, lack of grace with each other. Which of these am I clinging to? Am I entangled in any of these? When it comes to my repentance, me, myself, and I, how am I doing? That's the first part of repentance, recognizing your sin for what it is. It's trash. What's the worst thing you can do from there? Sadly, it's the thing we almost always do first because it comes to us naturally. When we think about our sin, what do we want to do? We want to look at the good things we do. We want to look at our works, right? So that way we can cover up some of our guilt or at least do some more good works to try to balance it out. Worst thing you can do. Because repentance, the second part of that, has nothing to do with you. When you want to repent, you do well to recognize from whom repentance comes and through what. What is the thing that generates and fuels that change of mind for sin? That's what's at the heart of the parable that Jesus tells next. Then Jesus told this parable, a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." Look at the patience and the care that is inherent in this parable. Look at what it reveals about God. God not only takes you and plants you in his vineyard. Why a fig tree in a vineyard? Because a vineyard is well taken care of. The fig tree is going to get some good care there. And God has done that for you. And he even looks for fruit. God has an interest in you individually. He patiently waits for fruit. He's gracious. He gives you a time of grace. The gardener in the parable interceded for the tree. Who does that for us? Jesus does that for us. The gardener digs around the tree. Why? To dig up the hard soil. It gives the roots room to grow. It allows them to get the water and nutrients that they need. God does that for us too. God does that through his word. The law is like a tiller. It like breaks up the hard parts around our hearts. It prepares our hearts to receive the nutrient-rich message of Christ. That's what generates your repentance. That's what fuels it. That message of, yeah, I say yes to sin a lot, but Jesus always said no. It said, "You shall not," and guess what? Jesus did not. All of those lists of sins that we fall into, Jesus stayed away from. And now God has planted you in his vineyard, and he has given you all of that perfection through faith. God looks at you, he sees perfection. Not just that, but now that he's planted you in his vineyard, he treats you like you're the only fig tree in the vineyard. He pours over you with care. He gives you God-fearing parents that bring you to church and want to water and tend you from a young age. He gives you numerous times when you can get in contact with the tiller of the law to help break up those hard parts of your heart, help prepare your heart for that gospel message. He gives you plenty of times to get in contact with that too. Open up his word. You'll see warnings. You'll see moments of his grace. All of it is meant to help you. In fact, people think the Bible's too big. They see that it's imposing, but just evidence of how much God cares about you. God gives us periodic gardeners here and there with brothers and sisters in Christ who help guide us in repentance. God does all of this. He gives us all of this patience and care and grace, even though we don't deserve it. It's a lot of care that God gives us. But we'd be foolish if we also ignored the warning sign that Jesus gives in this parable. Yes, God is patient. But God's patience can run out. Yes, God is gracious, but our time of grace can come to an end. "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir, leave it alone for one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. You know, sometimes we can take God's grace and patience for granted. We can put off our repentance and think, oh, I'll get to it later. I just want some more time with this sin. But we might not have more time. I may have already received all of the warnings that I'm going to get. And who knows? Only God does. I don't. So when Jesus is ever asked that question of when I should repent, what do you think his answer is? Right now. Don't wait. Repent right now before it's too late, because I don't want to have that moment. And I don't want to find out what perishing and being cut down really means. That's the warning. So, let me listen, and listen carefully to God's warnings and judgments. Let me let the Holy Spirit dig around my hard heart so that it can prepare me to receive that nutrient-rich message of what Christ has done. Let me cling to that and be connected to that each day, each hour, each minute. Do what I got to do. Because not only is repentance about me, myself, and I, but repentance is also about now. God is looking for my repentance now. It sounds nice, and it sounds positive and loving that all people are going to go to heaven. But sadly, it isn't true. God's judgment is indeed coming. So let us let God do his work. Let us listen to his warnings, and let us cling ever tighter to the cross of Christ who died for me, even me. Let's end the sermon this morning with a prayer, okay? I'm going to pray, and I want you to think it for yourself. God, help me repent. Help me see the cross of Christ, and help me honor him and you and bear fruit for you now. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ nourish your souls now until eternity. Amen. Let's join together in a song that is a prayer, a very fitting one for today, called Create in Me. As we thank God for his grace. Thank you.
Join together in prayer with the prayer of the church. We speak it responsibly. It's on page 12.
Lord Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Obeying your Father's will, you endured the cross and scorned its shame. Now you sit at the right hand of the throne of God, governing all things.
Lord, we confess that it is for us and our salvation that you came into this world to set us under God. You bore our guilt, you endured our punishment, you experienced the wrath of God in our place, for you are a selfish sacrifice on our behalf. Father, show our gratitude to you in everything we do, say, and do.
As we walk through life, keep us from becoming entangled by sin. Remove all obstacles and stumbling blocks, and keep us from falling or going astray. Help us run with perseverance the race that you have marked out for us. When that way involves pain, suffering, or persecution, help us view these things as evidence of your loving discipline intended to draw us every day closer to you. We also pray on behalf of Betty Arney, Eric Gunter, Xavier De La Cruz, Linda Cuck, and Steve Winther, who are facing health challenges. You said in your word that we can ask anything, so we ask that you show mercy to all of them. Strengthen them in body and comfort them with your love shown in Jesus. Bless their recoveries and build their trust in your care. Strengthen the love of all married people as well, especially those celebrating anniversaries. Nourished by word and sacrament, give them a rich love for each other and a continued dedication to be loving companions for each other. Continue to bless those who are celebrating birthdays as well. Give them the chance to see your grace on this special day and to show that same grace to everyone celebrating with them. Lord, thank you for the joys you have given us and loved ones who have passed. Bless the trials put upon the families of Pamela Baker's Uncle Jim and Judy Washburn's sister Sherry. Let these troubles be reminders for them of what's most important, and use them to guide the families closer to you. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Hold before us the example of those who have gone before, bearing the cross for you. As you led them, so lead us. As you strengthened them, so strengthen us. Keep our eyes fixed on you, for then we shall surely arrive safely at the heavenly home you have prepared for us. Hear us for your mercy's sake. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Join together in another hymn, another repentant hymn, hymn 423.
Thank you.
Please stand as we pray to our God and confidently receive his blessing. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. As we reflect deeply upon our sin, we very fittingly end with this hymn that reminds us of God's mercy. You may be seated. It's hymn 765 in the Blue Songbooks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure worshiping with you as always. Good morning and welcome to our visitors as well. So if you are visiting with us today, make sure to check out the Welcome Center over there. There's also a bunch of free gifts on there. Check that out. Sunday school and Bible class after this first service. God be praised, another chance to grow in His Word. We have a big event coming up today, our Jesus Cares New Friends Connect event. It's at 2 p.m. If you want to be a part of that, obviously there's still time, you can come to that. If not, at least pray for us. We're very excited about this ministry and pray that God would lead some hearts of people to come check us out. Wednesday Lenten services continue this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Dinner is at 5:30. It's always amazing. Both worship and the meal is what I'm talking about. School Musical is on Friday at 6:30, so come support our biggest ministry, but also the kids that put a lot of work into that. So 6:30 p.m., our School Musical. Mighty Warriors, calling all Mighty Warriors. I don't know who has talked to Jim Oswald yet, but please do so. I think if there's a sign-up sheet, make sure to sign up too. Mighty Warriors, April 6th. That's going to be 2 weeks and a day before Easter. So our big push here. We're also going to be pumping up our Jesus Cares first worship, which is going to be April 7th, the next day, and it's going to be on those postcards that we hand out. Another reminder, too, to grab those postcards. Still way too many left for a congregation our size, and I know you have friends. All right, so hand out your postcards and invite some people so that they can hear the message about God's forgiveness and what Easter means. Campus Cleanup Day is coming up April 13th at 9 a.m. There's a whiteboard, or at least a board back there to sign up. There's different tasks. Please fill that up and fill that up soon. We want to beautify our campus for all of our visitors. Easter is one of the biggest visitors' day, so really gets us ready, not just for summer, but for that Holy Week and everything. Easter Egg Hunt is coming up the day before Easter, April 20th at 10:45 a.m. It's the third annual Easter Egg Hunt. If you have kids or know of kids, we'll come up with some flyers here coming up, but also share the Facebook event once that gets created. Get as many kids here and make connections as possible so that we can tell them about the Easter services the next day. Good pre-evangelism event. Also for that, if there are donations that you have for that Easter egg hunt, I believe there's a box back there. Toss them in the box very gently, but toss them in the box. Now I'd like to ask Penny Boshaw to come forward and share a few words with us about volunteering.
You know the old saying, April showers bring May flowers. Well, here in California, actually, we're just a few months earlier with our flowers than the rest of the country. God blessed California this year with abundant rain and snow. Because of the rain, we're experiencing a super bloom of flowers in the desert in Southern California. Daffodil Hill is predicted to be spectacular this year. But with rain comes weeds. This isn't my backyard, but there are a few areas in it that do look like this. Spring is a season for deep cleaning, controlling those weeds, trimming the roses and bushes, sweeping, mowing, washing windows, which is also known as spring cleaning. Have you started spring cleaning at your house? Are you already finished? We are all part of God's family and worship in his house. He could make it so no weeds grow on his property and that the grass always stays at a certain level. But he doesn't. Instead, he gives us an opportunity to show our love for him by taking care of his house. God has given us a beautiful church and property that we should take care of, just like we do our own house. One of these opportunities to show your love for him will be on Saturday, April 13th, when we gather as a family to do spring cleaning here. In the back of the church, there is a board that you can sign up for various jobs, and there's something for everyone, from our youth to our seasoned members. Just sign up for which one you want to do. There'll be window washing and brushing the exterior walls, especially those cobwebs by the entrances. And have you ever noticed how dusty those red doors get at the entrances? Those really could be used, wiped down with a wet rag. The hedges need trimming, especially those around that intersection over here, and there's plenty of weeds throughout the whole campus for people to pull. The hillsides along the birdcage and going down into the strip mall over here need to be weed-eated, and there's trash around that kids can pick up. The garden area needs cleaning and possibly new fresh flowers planted by the entrances. There's going to be a pile of mulch that needs to be dispersed throughout the campus. Remember, many hands make light work. The more helpers, the more we can do, and the quicker it can be done. We're going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we'll take any help, even if you can come for just 1 hour. Remember, we're going to be hosting many guests during Holy Week and Easter, and first impressions are very important. What kind of first impression do we want to make? And speaking of volunteering, have you filled out your time and talent sheet survey and turned it in? In the past, you may have turned one in and nothing happened. Well, this year we have new pastors and board members who have already been asking about it this time. I've heard a few people say, well, I already do stuff, but maybe you'll find something new interest in here that you go, huh, I never thought of that. Maybe I'd like to do that too, or do that instead. Some of you are saying, I'm just really busy and I already do a lot. Well, just mark what you do on here so maybe the board members are reminded of it, that you do those things. We appreciate everyone who used their God-given talents and their precious time to the Lord. The forms are available on the bookcase in the back of the church on this side, not that side. Thank you and have a nice day. Please greet one another before you're ushered out this morning.